Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi everyone, this is Shovik and welcome to the Mint TechCetera podcast. I cover technology for Mint, where we try to make boring tech sound cool for you and hope that we don't end up making cool tech sound boring. Tune in as we decode the latest from the world of technology in India and around the world every week. Those of you listening to the TechCetera podcast, we are joined today by Jaya Jagdish. Jaya heads operations in India for AMD. Now, AMD is a company that I have been familiar with for years now. And a little bit of a personal anecdote to start with is that decades ago, maybe about 15 to 20 odd years ago, building a custom desktop PC was a thing. And as a kid, I was always interested in gaming. And I used to have this group of friends who were all into gaming, and we'd all sort of exchange notes on building a PC and the whole nine yards. And AMD, I remember when I was trying to build a PC, they had come up with a new series of ATI Radeon is what it was called, I think, back then. And they sort of came up with these new set of graphics cards, which were probably one of the first that sort of really challenged the desktop GPU section to sort of do even better and look at different alternatives from NVIDIA. So the reason why I share this anecdote is because AMD has since then always been this company that has been super, super interesting. And today, of course, globally, AMD is one of the most important semiconductor companies in terms of their engineering, their products, not just on the consumer side, but also on the enterprise side. And we have Jaya with us. Jaya, thank you so much for taking time out to join us for the TechCetera podcast. So I'll just start this conversation with one question from my side, that given that you lead a tech company in India, when you start your day, what are the things that you sort of look at? Do you start your day just like, say, any of us do, and you know, just get started with the work and all the meetings and the calendar schedules and emails and so on? Or do you sometimes look back and think that, I'm actually heading a tech company that actually has fans and followers and millions of users around the world, and that actually makes a difference to people's lives?
Thank you, Shovik. It's great to be part of this conversation. You seem to know quite a bit about AMD's history, which is very heartening. Now, it's an interesting question what you've asked. You know, honestly, I start my day like most people do. I first thing wake up, check my emails, check my calendar, and then, you know, start planning for the day. That's pretty much a normal day. But, you know, every once in a while, when there's an event or someone contacts me about AMD or, you know, asks me about the growth path, I mean, that's when you really reflect back and see how far we have come and how interesting this whole journey has been, especially the growth of AMD in India. It's been an amazing journey for all of us who have started with the company way back. So it's a combination of both, I guess. I mean, every once in a while, I mean, especially a couple months ago, AMD has had a large presence in Semicon 23, a conference for the semiconductor industry organized by the government of India. And just the recognition and, you know, AMD's participation and presence, a major player in the India ecosystem, kind of, it honestly, a lot of us, it was a very overwhelming experience to see the growth of the company. There have always, there have also been times of struggle. You know, if you look back at AMD, we were always not the topmost company. There have been our own struggles. So looking at all that, it just feels great to be where we are, and semiconductors playing a huge role in people's lives. I mean, it's a wonderful, satisfying feeling as well.
Right, absolutely. And since we of course, this conversation would veer towards the entire semiconductor industry. Jay, you've seen, being at AMD for this long, you've seen this entire conversation around the importance of semiconductors grow in volume and importance and in the ministries and in businesses constantly over the past two decades. You know, semiconductors are today such an integral thing that they're there in light bulbs, in cars, in appliances, everything. When you started out as an executive, when you started your career, did you imagine this piece of technology to become this important today, that it could just well be the one of the biggest geopolitical factors of the world today?
Yeah, well, semiconductors always carried that potential to change people's lives. And then, you know, for a lot of people in the industry, I think we were always aware of the potential that it carried. I mean, just automating the whole thing and the advent of AI, which can actually have the potential to change people's lives significantly for the better. But, you know, it's only now in the last few years that the semiconductor industry is really getting its due, you know, whether it's because of the supply chain challenges or because of COVID or, you know, because of all the emphasis on automation, AI, finally, semiconductors are getting their due. And there's a lot of focus worldwide to achieve self-reliance in chip manufacturing and chip design. I mean, this has become a worldwide phenomenon, and it's a great feeling. You know, we are no longer clubbed as one of the segments in the IT industry, or, you know, we are not clubbed as hardware testing engineers. So finally, I feel we are at the right place at the right time. But, you know, there is so much growth, so much potential that this industry holds. And many countries are kind of having this goal. They're making policies to build and strengthen the semiconductor ecosystem in their regions. And India, too, has been a great a proponent, or the focus has been extremely good by the government of India to strengthen the ecosystem and grow the semiconductor industry in the region. And talent is probably one of the biggest requirements for the industry that the entire world is kind of looking at. And India has the greatest potential here as well, where with a vibrant talent pool and with more than about 500,000 engineers graduating year on year, I believe if we can convert the talent into skilled labor, we can actually become the talent hub for the world and not just for India.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but India has already and historically had a pretty large developer base, of course, and also a pretty large engineering base. And that has also applied to the semiconductor industry as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the design sector in the semiconductor industry it really started almost three decades ago in India with many companies investing and opening up design centers here. So it's a very mature sector, but there are also other aspects of the semiconductor ecosystem, like the manufacturing ecosystem. It's really in the starting phases. I mean, you see announcements, you see companies coming in and starting to invest. And also if you look at the whole ecosystem, design will continue to grow organically, and that's a great growth story. Manufacturing is picking up, and that's where there's also a lot of focus on having the talent ready, building the talent readiness for the manufacturing sector. So it is, again, if you look at the entire industry, yes, you have a large presence, but there are also sectors that are just starting and need to be, you know, developed further.
Right, absolutely. In fact, Jay, you are the chairperson for the Semicon Talent Building Committee, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
So how does the Semicon Talent Building Committee sort of approach this? Like, what are they doing, anything different? Are they putting any impetus? Because I think during Semicon or a little before that, there were a few announcements from some companies. AMD itself unveiled its engineering center, and a couple of other companies also spoke about, you know, sort of building this talent capacity. So where do we stand in that regard, and what exactly are we doing?
Yeah, so I had this opportunity and honor to be the chairperson for the talent building, capacity building committee. I mean, it had representatives from academia, industry, and government. So there were about 13 committee members who worked together. And the goal was really to come up with a set of recommendations to make India a talent hub for the semiconductor industry worldwide. I mean, so that was the approach that we took was to first look at the various sectors in the semiconductor industry, like, for example, design, system design, manufacturing, display, you know, look at the various, and also R&D, which is a very, very important aspect of any growing industry. So we kind of looked at various sectors and looked at the demand and supply for each of these for the next 10 years. So design, as I mentioned before, is a lot more mature than manufacturing. And then there is organic growth of up to maybe annual 15% growth that can be expected. Whereas manufacturing, we had to come up with investments that are going to potentially come into India and build the roadmap. So it was a different sector, the approach was different for different sectors. And then the overall approach that we took was, once we came up with the demand and supply for each of these sectors, we got the gaps. And in most sectors, the gap was not really in the numbers. I mean, we, of course, have more than enough engineering graduates or technicians or, operators that we can actually bring in. But the gap was really in the skills. So, you know, we came up with both short-term and long-term plans to address these skill set gaps. On the short-term, or let me say on the long-term first, we had recommendations for the coursework or changes in the curriculum or engineering degrees that are given out, making VLSI or semiconductor a major graduating course. And also for the short term, while the curriculum changes take about 4 to 5 years for engineers to go through and graduate, there needs to be a short-term approach as well that can provide a list of courseworks along with the lab exercises, which is a very important aspect for reskilling and upskilling. So the government of India has also partnered with universities like Purdue for these kind of short-term courses that can actually help students who want to reskill and upskill. So this was the overall approach of the committee, recommendations committee, and we submitted a 70-page report to the government of India with these recommendations. And also glad to say, as a follow-up to the recommendations committee, an implementations committee has also been set up. And AICTE chairman, Professor Sitaram, is the chairperson for this committee. And they are kind of implementing the recommendations. And we are also involved, where we review these implementations on a regular cadence, just to make sure, you know, we are doing the right thing with respect to what is recommended versus what is implemented. So if you, the latest announcements have been great to see about 300 colleges be offering VLSI major curriculums courses. So it's actually taking effect quite nicely.
Right. No, that's really heartening to hear. In fact, we know one of the things that, you know, colloquially probably got misaligned when the entire semiconductor push started was that, oh, India doesn't have a semiconductor industry. You know, it's all China, it's all Taiwan, and so on and so forth. But the fact that India contributes such a significant portion to the semiconductor design and engineering, as with AMD itself, that sort of leads me to think that, and this is one thing that I think many of us have had a question for a while, that, you know, semiconductor manufacturing is one thing, and I can see why different countries would want to have their own capabilities and, you know, geopolitical boundaries and so on and so forth. When it comes to semiconductor design, you know, the design and the engineering and the sort of IP building end of things doesn't necessarily need to have boundaries, right? It can happen pretty much anywhere. In that regard, is there sort of any benefit or advantage to sort of, you know, look at India as a talent hub? Is that like a natural sort of course of action, because India has had that engineering talent, so build it up even further to sort of cater to global industries? Or does talent building also have like a, say, a geopolitical sort of angle to that?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I mean, each of these sectors, design or manufacturing, the starting point is different. And also the approach is slightly different. I mean, if you look at companies like AMD that started in India about 20 years ago, we've seen significant portion of the work, engineering work, getting done out of India. Year on year, we've not just expanded and grown in terms of headcount, but also in terms of engineering abilities and also our ability to take on and deliver something with the required quality and within the required schedule. So that is the organic growth in terms of capability or in terms of how we can take on more complex designs and deliver. I mean, that growth has been happening consistently. And as we grow, the talent maturity also grows, and the talent requirement kind of it plays well with what we have in India. Whereas manufacturing is more of at a starting phase, you are really, and it's also a very capital intense sector where you need to pump in millions of dollars even before you can actually employ anyone, right? I mean, all these equipments and the processes are extremely expensive. So, and the talent requirement for semiconductor is all manufacturing is slightly different, while design relies on more of engineering abilities, starting from BE, ME, PhDs and postdocs. The range of employment in manufacturing is slightly different. I mean, you need a lot of operators with a diploma or a high school degree. You need technicians, you need process engineers, you also need R&D. So the range is different, and that's where the approach is more of we need to train the trainers, right? We need to create the teachers. It's not just offering the curriculums, but we need to create people who are going to offer and teach these courses. And we need to create an ecosystem where, engineers are evangelized and attracted and brought in to this industry. So there are a lot of these things that are comprehended in the talent building report that we have addressed, including the startup ecosystem, or how do we encourage more and more women to be part of this industry, and how do we evangelize and attract more and more students to make semiconductors their choice in the career. So there are many such peripheral issues also that have been addressed.
Absolutely. And in this regard, in fact, another thing that I did want to understand, and this is a very important point that you mentioned. So, and I think AMD's India Engineering Center is probably one of AMD's biggest globally outside of North America, if I'm not wrong. So what kind of work happens here? And the reason why I ask this is because, processes like the Threadripper and everything have had this sort of connotation in the consumer gaming space, where they are pretty much some of the most cutting edge consumer end processors that you can find. And even on the enterprise end, these EPYC processors are right up there with the best in the industry, and they're becoming even more important with generative AI and so on coming forward. Are these, do the Indian teams also contribute to the sort of design and engineering of some of these cutting edge products as well?
Absolutely. So the way the working model at AMD is, we have design centers. We have many design centers across the globe. And we don't really design products for specifically for the design center. It's more of the roadmap, the product portfolio that AMD offers, and all of us work on it. And if you look at India Design Center, we started about 20 years ago, and we have consistently grown both in terms of headcount, which is around 7,000 now, and not just in terms of headcount, but in terms of engineering ability and the ownership and the importance of the work that happens in India has consistently grown. And the teams in India are involved in pretty much every AMD product that is brought out. And if I can explain the work that happens broadly, you can classify into three categories. One is IP development, and the other one is SoC designs, and the third one is software development. So all three of these segments have a major presence in India. So when you look at IP development, we have major teams for CPU, which is the core or the central processing unit in the design. And then we also have major IPs, teams that are present in India for Infinity Fabric that kind of communicates from the CPU to the rest of the system. And there are also PHYs and DDR memory subsystems and other things that a lot of the IP work also happens in India. And we have SoC, system on chip, which is like stitching together of various different IPs and actually getting a product out. So the server and the client, which are two major segments for AMD products, the SoC designs happen completely out of India. And we also have a good presence for graphics and also semi-custom BU teams as well. And software, we have CPU software and also GPU software for graphics. So both of these teams, we have a pretty large presence in AMD India. So you look at the overall AMD portfolio, almost every product has a significant contribution from India. And also, you know, there are many segments that the India engineers are innovating and contributing towards the products.
Right. Is this focus on having this India engineering team play such an important role on the overall innovation roadmap for your company? Was that like a conscious choice that the company made at some point, and then it's now grown? Like, was it like an initial setup that was done here for cost factors or something else? And and now it has sort of evolved to become this important.
Yeah, I think it has evolved over time. Even, you know, for people who believed in India, initially 20 years ago, most of the companies were coming here for financial benefit. You know, there was skepticism on how things would work. I mean, of course, any new player would start that way. And that's how AMD also started. Yeah. But over time, as the India design centers developed, as our engineers gained more and more capabilities, and as the leadership teams grew here in India, it kind of became an undisputed thing that, hey, this work can happen out of India. India is a major player for us as a design center, and this makes sense to move this to India or you know, provide more opportunities to these engineers. So it's more like an evolution that happened. And the fact that, you know, there was a strong leadership team in India, and many of us also worked in AMD US and brought back that experience, that also helped. And also the capabilities that were available, and we also invested in a lot of internal training to train our engineers. So all of these approaches helped in AMD India playing a more important and critical role in our product development. So I think it was a combination of many things that led to that level of trust that we have achieved now. And AMD India is a very, very critical part of overall AMD now.
Jay, do you think the companies that design the semiconductor IPs and products are more crucial, or is it the manufacturers who make the actual cores?
Both are equally important, right? Yeah. I mean, I know there is a lot of focus on manufacturing now, because that's also in the starting phases, right? But I mean, without your designs, you can't manufacture. So design is like the base for right. for manufacturing. So both are equally important, although they are in different phases of development. So that's why you probably will see little more focus on manufacturing with the media and all the announcements. But the design focus cannot be taken away. I mean, you have to continue to focus, and it's also a developing, a dynamic environment, right? I mean, you have to keep up with the latest and greatest technologies. You can't be left behind with, you know, generative AI, LLMs. I mean, there is so much opportunity, so much change that's happening in the industry. We are at an inflection point, and it is absolutely important to keep ourselves updated and ahead of the curve all the time with right. these changing times. Right. So you cannot take the focus away from the design. So it's equally important.
Absolutely. Does it worry you sometimes that, and this is not necessarily probably just an engineering question or just an India question, but generally, given that you lead a tech company which has such a massive global presence, does it sometimes worry or concern you that the overall tech world, like the overall world today, especially, you know, when we look at technology and innovation, there's always been global collaboration. There's always been companies which are spread across the world, and there's always been innovation at a sort of universal level.
Yeah.
Does it worry you today that we live in an increasingly fragmented world now?
Well, it's both, right? One is by with the advancements of technology, the world is kind of coming together in one way, right? I mean, it's become a global village. I mean, communication is easy. I mean, I just can think of a person and just get a message instantly. So, you know, it's in that way, it has brought the humanity together and closer. But, you know, any great thing always comes with some challenges, right? I mean, it can also be disruptive in many ways. I mean, if not used, if technology is not used responsibly, it can definitely be disruptive to the lives. I mean, you see so many cyber attacks and, you know, things that are increasing by the day. And even like, you know, AI, if you're not responsible in using that technology, it can actually be pretty disruptive to our lives. So I think these are two sides of the same coin. I mean, you have to kind of look at the growth opportunity and other things while being very, very responsible in how the technology is being used. So the security aspects become a lot more important than before now.
Absolutely. And just a while ago, in fact, I have to ask this because you did mention AI and generative AI. And, you know, it's become that phrase which pretty much the entire world is using right now. There is this entire hype, buzz, all of it.
Yeah.
Does this technology, given that AMD is a, you know, like a fabulous chip maker which makes processors and products for the world, does generative AI make a difference to a company like AMD?
Absolutely. I mean, AI is not just restricted to, you know, ChatGPT and other big things that are being talked about, right? The concept of AI can play a role in every engineering aspect that we do, right? I mean, just machine learning, for example, you can refine some of your and optimize some of your decisions by using these AI algorithms, or you can look at collate data and get the learnings from the data that can help you with your next steps. So there are so many of these aspects that are intertwined into the engineering work that we do. So it is a hugely important one that we are, and the potential is just tremendous, right? And that's what worries many folks as well, because the potential is so big. I mean, it can also become very disruptive. So yeah, I mean, AI is hugely important, I think, for every tech company, and not right. just AMD. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Thank you so much for this, Jaya. But before signing off, we'll do a quick couple of questions of for rapid fire of sorts. It's not exactly rapid fire, but these are more fun questions that are not strictly related to, you know, the more serious things that we keep talking about. And one of the first things is if a class 5 or a class 7 student asked you to explain how an SOC is made, if you had to explain it to such a kid in, say, a minute, how would you do that?
You know, I would say I would compare that to a human body. You know, it's like assembling, like your CPU is your brain, and you know, you have your clock that has to run through your entire design. That's your circuitry or your nerves that carry those messages. And you know, every IP is like an organ in your body that enables you to function, you know, whatever you intend to. So I mean, I guess that's probably one of the easiest ways I can define a chip for a kid or a fifth grader or a second grader.
Right. Awesome. And the second question that I had is, do you believe that AI apocalypse will happen? Do you think AI will finally eventually take our jobs and eventually lead to the doom of mankind? Or do you think that's just alarmism?
No, I don't believe it will get us to that drastic of a situation, because human mind is also responsible. It knows when it's a bit too late and start to become more responsible. I'm sure we have enough levers and responsible folks around to avoid or stop that from happening. So it is very important, while we understand the potential of this technology, it's equally important to put those guards and rails into this, where we don't kind of, fool ourselves later saying, oops, it has the potential, but I don't honestly think it can just replace a human mind or replace the humane aspects that we bring to the environment.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Jaya. This has been an absolute pleasure to have you on TechCetera. And it was fascinating to hear from someone who heads AMD's operations in India. And given that the increasing importance that chip companies play in the world today, it's an absolute honor to have you on the show and hear from you. So thank you. Thank you for your
time. Thank you, Shovik. It was a great conversation and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jaya. So thank you. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That was Jaya Jagdish, the country head of AMD India, joining us for this week of TechCetera. That's it. See you next time.
So that's that for this episode. We really hope that you enjoyed what we discussed. And if you have suggestions in terms of what more we can cover as part of our podcast, do let us know. You can catch me at Distant Vicinity on Twitter and at Shovik Das on Instagram. Thank you so much. See you next time.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.